Mercer University President Bill Underwood welcomed students last week with a reminder that schools are a place for intellectual freedom.
It's not the role of the university to shield you from ideas and opinions that you find disagreeable, or even that you find deeply offensive. It is our role to help you learn how to engage productively with those with whom you disagree. And that's sometimes difficult.
That speech comes as a national debate over safe spaces and trigger warnings takes place on campuses across the country. Bill Underwood is my guest this morning. Welcome.
Well, thanks. Thanks for having me on.
This debate over safe spaces and trigger warnings has actually been going on for a few years on campuses. How do you maintain the balance between a university that says we won't have, say, hate speech, or a university that says you can't paint a swastika on your dorm room door, as opposed to something that is part of intellectual freedom?
Well, it is a difficult balance, and I'm glad you phrased the question that way, because, you know, there are some issues that arise that are relatively easy to think through and fit neatly within the kind of framework that I outlined the other day. And then there are tough issues that require a lot of thought. And sometimes after you make a decision, you think back on them later and think, you know, I'm not sure that was the right decision. It is a very difficult balance. Context matters a great deal.
So I want to put maybe some examples to you for the next few minutes and sort of test out where the limits of this are, if that's okay.
Sure.
First we go to one university where students are disciplined because they sang a song that included the N-word. Is something that's, you know, like the N-word, is that one of those clear, over the lines, not acceptable parts of speech?
Well, it depends on context, Celeste. When the N-word is being used, and the purpose for the use of it is to put down a group of people, then I think that is over the line. On the other hand, if you have a professor teaching history and the N-word is relevant to understand a moment in our history, then that's a different context and a different conclusion.
And that has also come up because there have been students at other schools that have demanded, say, that the schools don't teach Mark Twain or Huckleberry Finn, which makes use of the N-word. When it comes to literature, there seems to have been a lot of debate over this. You've got Yale students who said that they didn't want to be studying an English class in which they were all white male authors. That was for the major English poets, which of course focused on Chaucer and Shakespeare and Milton and Wordsworth. And then you had students at Seattle University who said their classical curriculum, which focused on Rome and Greece, was racist because it was focusing on people like Plato and Aristotle, who were, again, white guys. How do you answer complaints like that?
Well, I think, you know, making the complaints is fair and certainly something that can and should happen at universities, and making those observations about some of our courses and some of our literature, I think that kind of criticism is fair ground for debate. That doesn't mean the course isn't offered, but I think at the same time, allowing people to make that kind of observation is what universities are about.
So, when you referenced ideas and opinions that students might find disagreeable or deeply offensive, who makes those decisions? Do all of those come to your office?
Well, that's part of the problem with those that frequently come to me and say, you know, we strongly disagree with this. What are you going to do about it? That puts one person in the role of being a sort of super censor. And I think, except in extreme circumstances, that's not a good solution. It's a much better solution to have a free market of ideas and let the ideas clash, and hopefully the best ideas ultimately prevail.
So then let me bring you to one of those, I guess, lines that universities sometimes straddle. This is a comment from Slate's chief political correspondent, Jamel Bowie, who says, the conversation over free speech sometimes gets far away from the fact that minority students can feel unwelcome at predominantly white institutions. This is from an interview from last year.
I went to the University of Virginia. I am African American. UVA, when I went there, I think was about 9% African American. Mm-hmm. And frankly, I mean, I felt like I circumscribed my experience at the university. There are things I did not do in places I did not go because I just didn't want to have to deal with the possibility of being faced with a racial slur. Mm-hmm. And some people might see that and say, we just need to toughen up. But I would challenge someone who said that or who thought that to imagine what it would be like to be at a place that is functionally your home. This is your community. And you can't walk around and enjoy your community to its fullest because you're worried about someone using words which come with an implicit threat.
What is the difference between a conversation that's going on inside a classroom or laboratory? And it sounds like he's talking about conversations that are going on just on campus in general, in social situations, in cafeterias, etc.
Well, I think we, all of us, have to be mindful of the fact that we are a community and we don't want to be a community where some members of the community face slurs simply based on who they are. And that's one of the lines we draw.
So what is at stake here? We've had some academics say that universities, by honoring safe spaces and trigger warnings, are coddling college students. There's even a piece in The Atlantic called The Coddling of the American Mind. We had the incident at the University of Missouri in which a former communications professor was fired because she appeared on a viral video. What is at stake here?
Well, I think there are a number of things. I think certainly our capacity to pursue truth and understanding is at stake if we don't have a free and open environment. I also think our capacity to prepare these young men and women for the responsibilities of citizenship in a free society. I think that's at stake as well. That's at stake when we begin reining in legitimate debate on serious ideas. And we've got to be careful not to do that.
So you must have had conversations with a number of students. What do you think is sort of driving what appears to be a nationwide effort among students to control the messages they hear and the lessons they're taught?
Well, I haven't done the kind of empirical study I'd have to do to really reach a conclusion on causation. But I have a general sense that as our political environment has become more polarized, our campuses have as well. And I think that's led to more calls to restrain speech that people very strongly disagree with.
That is Bill Underwood. He is the president of Mercer University. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me, Celeste.